My older brother, who I just spoke to, was an atheist, master's degree in psychology, and the top of his class at law school at SMU. His hobby was harassing Christians. If you were a Christian, he tried to get you unbaptized. He came home, he went over to his suite mate at SMU Law School. He said, "I'm going home to get my little brother out of this born-again thing." And here's my brother, a champion debater, all of this stuff, but you know what? It's amazing. It wasn't that I was just not prepared, but intellectually, the things he had prepared to talk to me about, I didn't know as much about all he had prepared to talk about. I did know something. I did know that my brother was an empty man. I did know my brother was using his own pain to hide from God. And I looked at him and I said, "Ben, it's not what you don't know about God that's keeping you from him. It's what you do." By the time that night was over, I had my big brother in my truck and I drove him around Dallas, Texas. In fact, he looked up at me when we were sitting on our patio and I said, "You know there's a God, you know he's real." I said, "Give me your hand, you're going to get saved." My older brother just looked around, he just lifted his hand. I think an angel just lifted it up. I got him in my truck, drove him around Dallas, Texas, baptized him. He came up out of the water, he said, "Man, you hadn't answered any of my questions." He said, "But they don't matter anymore." He said, "But don't tell Daddy, whatever you do, don't tell Daddy." We were having a kind of a family meal not long after that, and my dad was, you know, very successful, and he had kind of hoped my brother would talk me out and kind of get me normal. And so all of a sudden the subject came up about religion, and so my brother usually was taking me on, because with all that stuff and psychology and debate and law, I mean, he was pretty formidable. But this time my brother was silent. So my dad kind of put his fork down, looked at my brother. He said, "Well, Ben, what do you think about what he's saying?" My brother looked at my dad, he just went, "Hallelujah." My dad was taking his liquor collection down. He'd been a part, he was a member, you know, part of an oil company, traveled all over the world, had all these liquor bottles and all this, his little collection, and he was taking them down and putting them in a sack. And my mom said, "What are you doing? Are we moving?" And my dad said, "You know, all my life, I've prayed for a miracle." He said, "I never thought I'd see one." He said, "I think that the Lord finally showed me a miracle in the form of my two sons." He said, "I don't know much about God, honey, but last night I got down on my knees and I asked Jesus Christ to forgive me for my pride, my arrogance, and my self-sufficiency." My dad, at 57 years old, got radically saved. Here's a man that basically looked at me and said, "You know, you're the disgrace of the family." And now he's my best friend and a true spiritual man. You've had this happen. You've had that happen. You come from a bad family. You had this hurt. You had no dad. You've been molested. You've been abused. But it's only because God is real and we pray and do something about it. The fact of the matter is, the world you live in is not God's plan, ultimately. His laws are not hate one another, they love one another. His laws are not parents get divorced. His laws say don't commit adultery. Honor your father and mother. What would the world be like if the laws of God were obeyed? Will you repent and turn from your immorality? Turn from your bitterness? Will you hold on to that pain, to that accusation? Are you willing tonight? Will you be made whole?